I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we're excited to have someone joining us today who hasn't been here in a while. It is Sam Miltich. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And joining him, guitarist Mike Miller. Welcome, Mike. All right. Great to have you guys here. But, what do you guys want to kick off with here?
Oh, I think we're going to kick off with a pretty standard Gypsy Latin tune in the repertoire. This is written by a wonderful composer named Stokolo Rosenberg, who is sort of a guitar hero of mine. This is his lovely composition titled For Sephora.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sam Miltich and Mike Miller live from Studio A today. And you're playing with Clearwater Hot Club this weekend, but you have various configurations of bands, don't you?
Yeah, we have a lot of different kind of configurations. I play with a group in Grand Rapids every week called Sam Miltich and Friends, which is, we play every Wednesday. If you ever want to take a road trip to Duluth, people, every Wednesday at the Grand Rapids VFW from 7 to 9. And Mike is a very talented man. He plays drums in that outfit. And then I play a archtop electric guitar. I was actually built here in Duluth by a wonderful builder named Ed Schaefer, and do a lot of play with horn players, do a lot of straight ahead, you know, American swing and jazz. And, you know, then I've played in groups that we call the Sam Miltich Trio or Quartet, with different players if it's not a, you know, a particular hot club. But I guess the Clearwater Hot Club is sort of our main act, our main bag. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And have you guys been doing a lot of shows lately? Or
seems to be. We seem to be very busy. You know, we probably, I don't know. Most of our work, remarkably, is in northern Minnesota, and it seems like we're working, I don't know, you know, sometimes 15 times a month just in northern Minnesota, which is terrific. We're really pleased about that. You know, doing a little tour this summer, driving out to North Dakota. Playing a festival out there, so yeah, we're keeping ourselves pretty busy, and we're very happy about it. I was commenting before we went on air how much I enjoy playing the guitar. It's really something I absolutely love to do. So the more gigs I have, equals the happier I am. So I want to do that as much as possible. So
well, and that's wonderful to you know hear a musician say that, because this is your job, and sometimes once something becomes your job, you don't enjoy it as much.
Well, it's a vocation, you know, for me and. For whatever else one has to deal with in the music business, as soon as I pick up the guitar, all of that seems to melt away, and it's just absolutely worth it to me. It's I can't imagine. I mean, there's very few things that are as enjoyable for me as playing music and playing my gypsy guitar. I absolutely love doing it. I love fishing as well, but I really love playing guitar.
If someone paid you to fish, would you quit your musician and just go?
Oh, that's a tough choice.
As a musician and just
you know,
go fish.
You know, I don't think we even need to go there. I don't think we even need to think about it.
Because it's this probably is not
Sam,
gonna happen.
Sam Miltich's Clearwater Hot Club and Guide Service. We'll bring the guitar in the boat.
Well, and it's great because I know you love it up in northern Minnesota.
I do.
The last time you were here, you actually were talking about you'd been in the cities for a year, but you just really missed being out there and hunting and things like that that you enjoy.
Yeah.
So it's great that you're able to pursue your music and stay in northern Minnesota.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. I was down there for a fairly short period of time, but I just knew that my place in the world was up here. And quite frankly, the people, the land, the culture, everything that sort of makes up the fabric of life in northern Minnesota plays into my sort of artistic vision and my music. And one of the things I always loved about gypsy jazz was that it was jazz. And that's, you know, I really try and make sure whatever it is we're playing is jazz and is improvised. And but, you know, gypsy jazz had this wonderful rural sort of feel to me as a result of sort of the acoustic instruments. And when I was younger, I really appreciated, and I still do, good bluegrass music, because it was acoustic string music that came from people that were in a rural setting, but I never fully related to it because it was based out of southern culture and I was so steeped in this northern culture up here. And when I heard this stuff, gypsy jazz, it really echoed in my mind a lot of the music I heard growing up on the Iron Range. My dad played in a tamburitza group, which was a string band of tamburitza string instruments, which are akin to mandolin. They come from Croatia and Serbia. And then when I heard this gypsy jazz, it reminded me so much of that tamburitza music, but then also jazz. And my grandfather was a jazz bassist. And it was like this beautiful melding of all these different musics that I loved. And it resonated to me, and it somehow felt perfect for northern Minnesota. I don't know exactly why. Maybe this is all made up in my head, but it certainly felt that way to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, because I never would have thought of it that way, but that's how it resonates for you. That's pretty cool. I like that story. So how have you expanded what you do, and how do you find new songs for your repertoire? I think about that when, you know, you do some original stuff too.
Yeah.
But, you know, you pick up these songs from different places. How do you know what makes a song grab you? You know, you're exposed to so much music. What makes it grab you? And then are some more fun to play than others? And what makes them fun to play?
Boy, that's a really good question. I have to think about that for a sec. I guess it's a lot of different things. Sometimes it's just this sort of visceral, just like grabs you. There's not necessarily even a reason. It just tugs at you. But I guess some of the things that really attract me to music, and it was what attracted me to Django's music, was a high level of emotion. And when a tune brings you to the very depths of sadness, or to the greatest peaks of, you know, ecstatic joy, it's those kinds of things. And I guess to me, it's the, you know, really lush, thick harmonies that you find in jazz, you know, driving rhythms that, I don't know, just make you want to move. Music that just carries life in it, you know, that's what always really grabs me. And stuff that isn't static, you know, that's why I like jazz, and that's why I like improvising, is, you know, it's this individual expression, but it also comes through collaborative effort with other musicians. So, you know, when I hear those different elements in a piece of music, that really moves me, and it makes me want to play it, quite frankly. And then I always try and, you know, really my way of playing the guitar, my technique is firmly grounded in the gypsy jazz tradition. When I was in my formative years really learning this style, I learned it in a very sort of strict and traditional fashion as best I could. And I sought out people who could teach me in that regards. I sought out people in the U.S. that were really the experts in this style. And then also, you know, people in Europe. You know, I would drive many, you know, I drove across the country to find, this was in like the late 90s when this music was really almost unheard of. I drove to San Francisco to meet Paul Mayling, who was my first teacher out in San Francisco, and wound up touring with him for about 2.5-3 years, and got grants from the state of Minnesota to go to Europe to study. But as a result, you know, I always try and, whatever style of music it is I'm playing, it doesn't have to be necessarily a tune in the gypsy jazz repertoire. I always try and view it through the lens of gypsy jazz. I almost can't not view it through the lens of gypsy jazz. It's just so ingrained now.
Because that's your foundation.
It's my foundation, and I've been doing it for long enough now that that's really who I am as a guitarist. So.
Okay. Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll come back and chat a little more. What do you guys want to do
Certainly.
Next?
Certainly. We're going to do another Latin tune. I seem to be into those these days. Warm weather makes me want to play Latin music. It's just the vibe, I guess. So we're going to do a piece titled Bossa Dorado.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
Lisa Miltich and Mike Miller here live from Studio A, and a nice Latin feeling tune for a spring day, finally, feeling like spring out there.
Yeah, it feels like it anyways. I hope we're not being fooled.
And now, where did that tune come from?
That was written by a gypsy guitarist named Dorado Schmidt, who is also a contemporary, you know, he's alive and well, and I actually got to go on a tour with him, which was like one of the great honors of my life. So, you know, we got to hear that tune a lot. So that's where that came from. He's, I think, from the northern part of France.
Okay.
Where he and his family are from, and his son plays, and it's very strong family of gypsy guitarists and composers. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you've also kind of incorporated other kinds of music, Brazilian and other sorts of music. How did you discover that, and how did that get into the repertoire?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm kind of incorporating a number of basically, you know, different kinds of string music from, I guess, the world. I guess it'd be sort of world music. But the Brazilian choral stuff, I have to credit a Duluth resident who first really kind of introduced me to it. His name is Joe Walsh, who played in a band called Joy Kill Sorrow. And he and I did some playing way back when I was first beginning to learn. And we, you know, had obviously mutual musical interest. And he introduced me to Jacob de Bandolim, or Jacob Bittencourt. Bandolim is mandolin in Portuguese. But he introduced me to this wonderful mandolin player who sounded to me like a Brazilian counterpart to Django, except his music was a little more formalized. You know, there was more of the sort of European classical element almost in his music. There were very sort of strict compositions, and these chorals have an extended form. It's almost, they're almost like little mini opuses or something, or inventions. They're just these beautiful, marvelous little tunes, and have incorporated the choros into our repertoire. Have also incorporated French musette, which is, you know, it's fairly typical in gypsy jazz to play these French waltzes. But then I've also incorporated a lot of different styles of Balkan music, and Balkan is a rather large sort of umbrella term, because the Balkans are a very ethnically rich and diverse region of Europe, and you have influences from, you know, all these different cultures and religions, and so you have, you know, Catholic people alongside Orthodox Christian people, along with Muslim people, also, you know, there was, anyways, I'm not sure to the extent to which it is there now, but a very large Jewish community as well. So it was, and then Roma too, Gypsy community. So it was this, like, you know, cultural melting pot in the Balkans. And so there's many different styles of music that come from the Balkans, from these different regions and stuff. But we've incorporated a lot of different sort of Balkan styles into our music as well. And I've found there's, you know, for those, some may know that Miltich is a Croatian name, others may not. All these ICHs around the North Country here. There's a lot of people with Balkan ethnicity running through their veins. And when we've played that music that we've incorporated into the Gypsy Jazz style, we've had just an incredible reception. People love it. You know, like when we play it up, you know, up on the range, people just go nuts for it. It's been a really great response, and it just works perfectly well with this music, and it is very strongly influenced by gypsy music, and so I thought we would play maybe a Balkan piece.
Oh, nice. I want to ask you, you said that you did study in Europe for a while, and I assume, have you toured there, I assume?
Yeah, I did sort of what I would call a brief tour. I was there for 3 weeks when I was 18. I played with a group called the Robin Nolan Trio, playing rhythm guitar in their group. And we played in the streets in Amsterdam just about every day. They had a regular spot that they shared with other people where they busked. So we'd go to there in the morning and we'd busk. And we'd sell CDs and people would throw tips. And, you know, when you're in the center of Amsterdam, there's a lot of people moving around. So a lot of people heard us, and we did pretty well doing it. And then I was fortunate enough to tour to Augsburg, Germany with them and play at a festival that was put on and dedicated to the music of Django Reinhardt. And boy, for an 18-year-old, that was quite an experience, I have to say. It was one that I'll never forget and has had a profoundly strong impact on me as a person going there. And then 3 years ago, I received a grant and was able to go to the Netherlands again, to Holland, and study with a gypsy guitarist named Fapi Lafferton. and he is one of the absolute foremost authorities in this style, and is a teacher and is very happy to teach and take on students. And I had the great fortune of being able to go and study with him. This was I have to really thank Tim Kliphaus, the violinist from the Netherlands, who we've played with and recorded with, for kind of help facilitate that relationship. You know, I said, you know, I really had this strong desire to improve as a player. And he said, well, let me talk to Foppy. And he had played and toured with Foppy. So I had the opportunity to go over there and study. And I'm a very, very lucky person. I am. Not everyone gets the opportunity to do that. And I recognize how lucky I am that I had that opportunity.
And what did you, how did you feel about what you gained in your playing from that?
Oh gosh, you know, one of the things that was really wonderful about the experience was that he is such an advanced player, and I was sort of, I'm glad I went at the time when I did, because I was advanced enough in my guitar playing that we could sort of transcend the mechanics of the guitar and move into more musical concepts in terms of improvisation. And I guess the main thing, the thing that I really got out of it most was and it was to create musical phrases and create a sort of a firm improvisational concept and stick to that. And, you know, understanding jazz phrasing was a big part of what I learned there. I'm still trying to implement it. I'm doing the best I can with it. My guitar playing is just simply a work in progress that I always try and achieve more. But that was the major musical impact that experience had.
And I'm just smiling because I'm thinking, and if it ever stops being that way, you'll probably stop loving doing what you do as
well,
much, because you always, you know, it seems like musicians always have some, or creative people,
yep,
you're always reaching for something else.
Well, and I like feeling on the edge of my ability. I like feeling uncomfortable. I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but when I'm not uncomfortable, that makes me uncomfortable, you know. And Mike and I have been playing together for 3 years, 4 years. He's been playing drums, but in the last year he's picked up rhythm guitar, because I really need to play gypsy jazz. That's what I love and want to do. And he's really taken to it, and he and I get together and play, and we're just always at the edge, you know. And I think that's exciting. To me as a listener, I love it when someone's really digging deep, pushing to the edge of what their mind and their hands can do. And, you know, it's like reaching for that phrase and bam, you finish the phrase and you were barely able to do it. And I just like that feeling. I like seeing that in other guitarists, because it means they're not stagnant. It means they're not complacent. That's one thing I don't like at all in music is complacency. And I don't like that within performance either, because I treat every performance as though it were my last. And that's how we should treat our lives. Every day could be our last. And, you know, when I perform, I really strive to have people know that no matter what the gig is, no matter how big, how small, this is the most important gig of your life is right now. You know,
I think that's a good place to go to the next song here.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to finish up with here?
Yeah. I was talking about doing some Balkan music, and we're going to do a song that comes from the Southern Balkans. That was in, this is a country that was part of Yugoslavia. It's now modern day Macedonia. And this is a Čoček, which is a fairly typical song style from Macedonia. So we're going to play this Čoček, which is titled Majstore, and hope you enjoy it.
So you've never been to any of those places?
No, that's the next spot on the list.
I was going to say, you seem like you know a lot about it, and I bet you'd love to go there.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely get there at some point, go visit family, and then go find a bunch of musicians. So.
All right.
2, 3, 4... Thank you.
That's Sam Milditch and Mike Miller live from Studio A. Yep. You said you guys are working on a live album.
Yeah, we are. Once again, I received a Minnesota State Arts Board grant, Artist Initiative grant, and what we're doing is we've been fortunate enough to have good friends from across the state, really, you know, Twin Cities, Duluth, other points, who have wanted to come to Grand Rapids and hang out and play music at our local VFW and little rural small town VFW. And it's turned into a jazz club. And it's really quite remarkable. And I wrote a grant to pay artists to come up and just do a gig with us, just like a regular performance. And we're just using a single mic and we're recording basically every gig. We've been doing it since February all the way through September. And I think the hard part is going to be sifting through all this information. And we're going to record 10 artists, guest artists, and they'll be on a Sam Milditch and Friends album live at the VFW. So that is a work in progress right now. So that should be coming out probably, I would say, late fall, early winter.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Rick McLean and Cameron Flackney. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.